and time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all your listeners.
And what's happening in the wonderful world of organic wine, mate?
Well, still wonderful, Peter. We're expecting, I think the worm has turned, as the saying goes, Peter. The after that tremendous heat spell or hot spell, whichever way you want to look at it, I think heat is better because it was in late into the night a few days as well. After that broke and we got a couple of days of rain and mixed weather, it's cooled off considerably at night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, has definite tones of autumn in the air, Peter.
Ooh, and we're 2 months away.
We are. I think some of the trees are giving up their leaves in bounty here. You know, please just go away, and you can have all my leaves and everything else. Just no more heat, please.
Yeah, how's the silk tree holding up?
Silk tree's doing very well because it is in a place that gets a lot of water because we water that grass that's under the silk tree, so it's always in good form. But we've been short of water that we haven't really been watering the orchard too much. And some of the early fruits, like apricots, are very early fruit. They're the first ones that produce fruit in our orchard, earlier than any of them, peaches, pears, nectarines. You know, there's nothing that is as early as apricots. It's already losing its leaves, but that could be related to the dry as much as anything else.
Yeah, understood. Dear, oh dear, mate, you don't know where we're going to turn, do you?
Well, now they're predicting heavy rain the next 3 days, Peter, and we don't need it, actually. We just need a few little drops here and there. We had a nice rainfall last week. Everything's starting to turn green again out in the paddocks. When you look down now, the valley's got a definite green tinge to it, and a little more rain by next week. It's going to look like the countryside in England, Peter.
Nice. Yeah, I've seen photos of that from the various garden shows and doing up homes and everything, and the scenes in the United Kingdom, mate, fabulous.
They are, yeah. And what's going to happen is that the whole paddock, everything here, is going to turn green, because we've talked about this before. Excuse me, Peter, I'm still recovering from my trip to China.
Oh, mate, I tell you, the smoke done a lot of damage to a lot of people, and I can tell you that I've suffered too.
Yeah, it's all finished up around this area because the the rain that came through doused everything here about a week or 10 days ago. I mean, we did have smoke, in a couple of days. It wasn't too pleasant, but we were never in danger from the fires here at the vineyard, but they were certainly around.
Well, that photo you sent me, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about pollution, and smoke pollution is one of those things about the fact not only does it cause stroke and heart disease and cancers and everything, it causes osteoporosis as well, Peter. So we definitely don't want to be living in an area of high pollution.
For sure. Mm. Well, what's been happening on the news front in your area, man?
Well, some interesting things. Peter, there was we talked about our little friend the nematode here a few weeks back about they discovered a new antibiotic in the gut of a nematode. And I'm not sure how you take a nematode, which you can hardly see by the naked eye, and find its stomach and extract an antibiotic out of it, but they did. But this research was different. It was a joint effort, but there were three laboratories in it, Buck Institute and actually a Chinese university. But the one I like that was the lead research group here is located in the Mount Desert Island Biological Laboratory. That sounds like somewhere we should work, Peter.
Yeah, doesn't it, Josh?
Mount Desert Island.
Mate, how do you extract that? Very carefully.
Yeah, very carefully. But what they've done now is they have been able to extend the lifespan of our little friend the nematode by 500%.
Yeah.
equivalent to humans living 400 to 500 years, Peter.
Heavens.
And as funny as this may be, they use a nematode for a couple of reasons. One is it's got a lot of equivalency in DNA to humans, firstly.
Mm.
So the research often is, you know, can be extrapolated. The second reason is it has a short lifespan of just a few weeks. So it's quite easy to measure whether you're succeeding in these. But it was interesting because they did two things. One thing that they do separately extends its life 100%. The other thing they did extends it 30%. But when they did it together, they extended the life 500%.
Oh, okay. So we're going to live to what, 300 years?
Well, exactly. Peter, it's going to get awful crowded on the Earth if we're going to start living 500 years.
That's for sure.
500.
And the drain, of course, on the social security services and everything else will get worse. I see in the news, too, of late that because of the bushfires now, our fruit and vegetables and our meat supplies are going to cost a hell of a lot more.
Well, gee, Peter, you think the city people might take notice now of the problems in the country?
Oh, mate, sometimes you feel like grabbing some people and shaking them violently and saying, pay attention.
Yeah, well, they take no notice unless it affects them directly when they go to the supermarket. They go in there and the shelves are empty. They say, gee, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, bushfires? What bushfires? I don't think about bushfires.
Yeah, they just ignore it. Well,
yeah,
I've noticed
drought.
That too. Woolworths, in particular, a lot of the products are not on Woolworths stores at the moment. They just can't get through.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, it starts at the top, Peter, as we said before. You know, our Prime Minister reminds me of our old friend the ostrich, you know, bum in the air and the head in the sand.
Oh, gee, what a, yeah, I was going to say something else, I won't.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, it's the problem with people like our current Prime Minister is it's difficult to respect the office because the office, you know, he represents the office and our office should be respected. But when you get people in there like that, you know, that have no concept of global warming, of the problems that it causes, and make stupid statements and wave lumps of coal around in Parliament. You know, it's hard to respect, you know, the office. We have to respect the office because we can get rid of the dinks, Peter, and we can put somebody in there that maybe we can respect as well.
That's
but
for sure, and I noticed.
We do have to respect the office.
I noticed the other day, it's finally come out where one councillor, I just forget who it was, said, well, we would have burnt off, but we're not allowed to.
Oh, yes. I'm well, thinking, that's been
what?
Going on for a very, very long time, Peter, that the Greenies have stopped that. And, it's completely stupid. They have to work out some relationship. Say, okay, we're going to do coal burns, Peter. And there's a difference between burn off and bushfire.
That's right.
See, if the Greenies would allow coal burns, you could save most of the wildlife.
That's exactly
right.
But
when a bushfire comes through because they don't allow coal burn offs and the load gets higher and higher and higher, when the bushfire comes, it kills everything. Kills it all, Peter.
Yeah, well, I have, as you probably are aware, an Aboriginal family living right next door to me, and they've been telling me about this, about the fact that, you know, gum trees and eucalyptus trees in the coal burn, they don't burn.
They don't. They don't, and that's the point. And their life underneath renews itself. And coal burns, you can control and do in certain areas. Now, you know, if you get together and get enough volunteers, you can drive the like most of the wildlife can run or fly, but those that can't, you know, like you know, moles,
koalas.
and koalas and that, you can do a canvas, you know, and you can say, okay, we think we've or you can do an infrared, do a flyover,
yeah,
you know, and with an infrared, and then do a cold burn, because they're not achieving their objective. Their objective is to protect nature and the animals, and in fact what they do is they sentence them all to death. Yeah. Because a cold burn, you know, we could save most of them, and in a bushfire, you can't save any of them.
Well, if you do a cold burn, of course, and I have learned, that rejuvenates the whole thing.
It does, and of course, that's why our indigenous friends used to do it, Peter.
That's right.
They used to not only, you know, protect their local, you know, nation's areas, but it used to regenerate. And, you know, as we joked before, you know, like there's a lot of fertilizer in a match. And in the old days, the farmers used to do it as well, you know, to clean up scrub. And if you get rid of all the undergrowth in underneath trees and scrub, beautiful grass comes up.
Well, there was a story around, I just forget exactly where it was, but it related to, you know, people who live in bush areas in the country. And he'd done a safe area around his property, and he went a little bit too much, so they fined him.
Yes, I know, Peter. It's ludicrous. So, and I read that he one fellow cut a tree down because it was old and big, and it was close to his house, and he thought it would catch fire and burn his house down, and he got a substantial fine.
That's right. You know, we have one on our complex here that is dead, that will eventually fall, and everyone's been notified, and they throw their hands in the air.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Yeah,
you know, here's a ludicrousness, and it's not just in Australia, Peter. It's when we lived in Canada, we had a big old tree that got hit by lightning, and it was really in serious trouble. And, you know, to cut it down, we had to get a permit from council. But to get a permit from council, we had to hire an arborist.
That's right. You know, it's like pulling...
trained tree specialist.
It's like pulling teeth. It's unbelievable.
Cut your own tree down. Cost you thousands of dollars, Peter.
Yeah, well, I know where I put the tree when it was cut down.
Yeah, on the council on the council lawn. So now you deal with it.
No, I had another spot in mind.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, Peter, that's what happens. There was another interesting article, actually, Peter, about, you know, we've in the old days, and a lot of our listeners are too young probably to recall this, but it was an absolute scandal when they discovered that lead and other types of heavy metals were causing cognitive developmental issues in children. And and so lead, because all paint virtually had lead when we were children, Peter, and children's toys were often made of lead.
That's right.
Especially little figurines and things, cowboys and Indians we used to play with. They were, you know, they were made of some sort of pot metal, and but they definitely had lead paint on them, and they cause all sorts of problems.
Mate, you don't have to worry now.
Yeah, chronic problems. Until it,
pardon
me. Anyway, the results or the effects of lead and mercury and other heavy metals on children has dropped significantly, Peter, this research has shown, because we don't use it anymore. But it has been replaced, even worse, by flame retardant and pesticide chemicals.
Oh, yeah.
And the effect is something like five times bigger now on those flame retardants. And we talked about these before, Peter, about, you know, if you're going to live in a house, it's much healthier for your children if you don't have carpet and you don't have plush furniture, which is like needs a lot more flame retardant material on it to stop it from burning than, for example, if you have leatherette furniture or hardwood floors and just get mats. And the level of children living in houses that have got furniture and carpets that require flame retardant stuff levels, if you recall, Peter, they were 15 times higher, the chemicals detected in the levels in children, than those children that were living in houses that had either ceramic floors or hardwood floors. So,
all right.
And this study actually came out of New York University, and they have looked at the effect of IQ loss on flame retardant and pesticides on children. Mm-hmm. And it is astronomical, Peter, the difference that these chemicals have made. And what they did is they quantified it in how many IQ points those chemicals are causing to society. And in the United States, it was 27 million IQ points are caused by those chemicals.
Unbelievable.
The drop. Yeah.
Mate, so, I've been a good boy. I've been a really good boy. I was in Aldi's the other day, and, you know, you walk along and you say, right, coffee and what have you, right? Then I spotted organic tea. So I brought it home and I thought, well, I'll give it a shot. It was absolutely delicious.
Yeah.
So that's now here. It's replaced everything I had. The organic tea is pride of place, and I enjoy it.
Yes. Well, Peter, it's, you know, we of course, use organic tea and organic coffee. Organic coffee in particular. If you recall, you've been here many times, Peter. Our organic coffee is second to none.
Oh, it's beautiful.
We don't even buy a cup of coffee or go to town now because I don't like the flavor. Mm-hmm. And we wait till we get home, or we take it. We take it in a thermos, our coffee, and we drink it. Because coffee, to me, is a bit like wine, Peter.
Yeah.
If you're going to get an aftertaste, it has nothing to do with the coffee. It has to do with the chemicals that are in it. And wine's the same.
That's what I noticed with the organic tea.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I gave it to people.
Organic or a metallic aftertaste.
Well, I made a cup of tea for several people that were here, and I didn't say anything, and they said, gee, that's nice tea, and I said, it's organic, and they said, you're kidding. I said, no, I'm dead serious, and I showed it to them, and they're all going out to buy it now. They said it was delicious.
Yeah, it's, you know, the mainstream marketers, you know, haven't even probably done this, but people that, you know, years ago, people that didn't buy their stuff from the supermarket and sought out, you know, farm fresh and non-sprayed stuff, and they were regarded as a bit strange, Peter.
Oh, well, and you tell them where to put the appropriate finger.
Yeah, I know. And now I think they're regarded as the leading edge, the more intelligent people of society, the more health conscious, because, you know, if you keep eating that stuff that's sprayed with chemicals, particularly now that Roundup is, you know, I mean, we've been eating Roundup. We haven't, but, you know, people who buy stuff from the supermarket have been eating Roundup for years and years. And now, of course, they are in court to the tunes of hundreds of billions of dollars in damage for the people that they've killed. So,
well, I'm grateful to you and your family because you've steered me in the right direction. And I only spoke to the doctor yesterday, and he's very happy.
Good.
Well, so I'm glad, that's good news.
Yeah. Well, it's what we have to do, Peter, because our government, our regulators are not doing it for us. So we have to make sure that we're looking after our own diet.
Yeah, well, maybe they need regulating with a cattle prod.
Yes, well, of course, they're attuned to big business, Peter, and big business says, no, 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 no. Look, 10% kill, 15% kill, acceptable odds, Peter.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I wonder how, when they sit down at their meal every night, if they really consider that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, Peter, we got to get some organic wine into everybody's house, as you often say.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say that. You preempted that. But that's good. No, and lots of it, because we're now 2020, and we need to get people to enjoy it. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and we have our friends from, I'm not quite sure if it's the Gosford Club or the Wyong Wine Club. They meet in the Gosford RSL once a month down there. But we have 24 of their members coming on Saturday, Peter.
Lovely.
Yeah, they were here about 2 years ago. Actually, we've got three or four friends of a cellar in their group as well, because when we went down and did our initial tasting with them, we blew them away, Peter, with the taste of a nice organic wine.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, they're coming this Saturday morning, so we'll be entertaining them. They tell me it's the oldest wine tasting club in Australia. That particular might be called the Central Coast Wine Tasting Club. I'm not sure what it is, but anyway, they'll be here on Saturday. So the weather's great. There's no fires. The grass is green. And it's time to get out there. It's not quite as hot as it used to be. And come up and visit us, Peter. And
get under those lovely cool trees.
Exactly. And restock the wine that cellar that's been cleaned out over Christmas, Peter.
Well, that's a good news to know. So it's all restocked, ready to go. And all we need now are people to come and enjoy it.
Exactly. And they can call us here at the Vineyard, 6574-5275, or go online at acellawines.com.au, Peter, or they can, call us or text us or whatever they like. And happy to hear from people.
Yeah, no rhythm dancing, though. I don't think that's appropriate.
They can do that, too, if they like.
No, mate, it's really good, and it's good to see. And one thing we need to let them know is that they can get out to the winery and they can get home. So there's no dramas with that.
Yeah, there never really was here. There was a problem down the Wollumbyre Road, and of course there was a bit of smoke occasionally. But we're very fortunate, Peter. We're so far north of all the... We're probably the most northerly vineyard in the Hunter Valley area, the lower Hunter Valley.
Right.
So we were actually north of the bushfires here. So that was good, because less the smoke came from the south, the wind from the south, we were relatively smoke-free as well.
Fair enough. Mate, lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great. And we'll catch up with you next week, Peter.
Sure will. Jeff from acellawines.com.au. Do it now.